You've heard the word of the Lord, our gospel lesson, Luke 18, 1 through the end of verse 8. We bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, dear Jesus, for leading us to the Father and opening the way to the Father's heart through the wounds and the blood that you shed for us. Lord, teach us to pray persistently, boldly, stubbornly, in your dear name. Amen. In the name of Jesus, who is the way, the only way, to the heart of the Heavenly Father through prayer. Dear family of God, off the coast of England one stormy night, a ship went down. No coast guard, no way to rescue him or anybody off that ship. Everybody went down. All they could do was wait till morning when the light enabled them to go out and search for any possible survivors. 14-year-old cabin boy was found clinging to a rock. They asked him, "Weren't you afraid? Didn't you tremble as the waves kept crashing over you?" And he said, "Sure, I trembled, but the rock never moved." Jesus is the rock of our salvation, the rock that will not move amidst all the crashing storms of life. I don't need to know what's going on in people's lives. I just know that we all have our stories and we're all up against it various times and various ways. And Jesus knows that too. Today he's teaching us a sanctified kind of stubbornness, a way of looking at our Heavenly Father more clearly and this blessing of prayer more persistently. He's teaching us, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying to the just judge. When Jesus wanted to humble his self-righteous enemies, the Jewish religious leaders that were so full of themselves and no use for the Son of God, and yet teach powerful lessons to little children, he would tell a parable. Sunday School 101. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. There's always a single important meaning that we're to find in the parable, in the Word of God, without embellishing it and adding to it. And in this particular parable, Jesus leaves no doubt exactly what he's driving at. So the parable of the persistent widow is well titled in our New International Version. The first verse of 18 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." He's telling this parable after the end of chapter 17, where he's talking about the kingdom of God coming. Don't look here or there for it. It's not out in the desert. He says the kingdom of God is within you. And there inside of us, the Lord wants us to rule with this bold persistence that just won't give up because we're praying to the just judge. This is what you might call worst case scenario. So if your kids want to know what worst case scenario is, think of, let's say, you're riding along on your bike and one of the tires goes flat, but then the other wheel falls off. I actually saw that happen one time. The rider did not last long on the bike. Or worst case scenario, you're taking a shot right up close to the soccer goal and you just really belt that ball and boom, hits the sidebar or the top, doesn't matter, and bounces back, hits you in the head, bonks you on the head and knocks you out. That's worst case scenario. Okay, so we have a widow here no safety net in ancient times. She basically had no husband and no son to speak up for her. She's defenseless in a court of law where the judges can basically do whatever they want. And this particular judge, by his own admission, does not fear God, couldn't care less about people, and that's the judge that she has to stand before. Worst case scenario for a widow. So he won't listen. He doesn't care. According to the way Jesus tells the story, she keeps coming in day after day. She just won't let up. He is stubborn. He is wicked. He is careless. End of story, right? No justice for her. Oh, no. Not with her. In the English, we can't quite get exactly what's going on here, but when he comes back, continually refusing, she keeps coming in. He says, I don't fear God or care about men, but this widow keeps bothering me. It's the same Greek word that means she keeps giving me a black eye. It's not physical, but she's pounding on him. That's what he's saying. She's beating me up here. Every day I come into my courtroom, there she is again. She won't be silent. Courtroom was often held in the city gate, so, you know, this is a much more public situation. He's losing face here, metaphorically speaking. She's giving him a black eye publicly. Okay, she's bothering me. Okay, I got to give her justice because she's wearing me down. She's going to wear me out. Unjust judge. Is that how we treat God sometimes? As if we're giving God a black eye? One of the professors at the seminary, Richard Gergel, sends out these monthly devotions for pastors talking about that, and that was the title of his devotion this week. Do we give God a black eye? Do we treat him like an unjust judge? Do we act like he doesn't want to hear from us, or that we somehow have to get angry at him in order to get him to answer the prayers that we're saying? Does God really have justice toward us? Now, if left to ourselves, obviously, we would stand before God and we would be guilty criminals. But Jesus says, the man refused for some time, finally admits that she's going to wear me out. Grant me justice against my enemies. And the Lord Jesus says, won't the Father hear for his chosen ones? Have you ever stopped to think about that, dear Christians, dear family of God? How long has God known you? Just to pick out a couple brothers, father and son, Don Sr., Don Jr. From all eternity, God knew you by name. Ever think about that? Elect or chosen means that from all eternity, he said, that's one of mine. I'm going to see to it that you hear the gospel, that you come to faith, and that you stay in faith up to this moment of this day. I'm going to love you the same today as I loved you yesterday and from all eternity that direction. I'll love you the same tomorrow into eternity. He is God, infinite in power, infinite in love. Infinite to the point that he can say for his elect and for the whole wide world, God loved the world and the worldly so much that no matter where you've been or what you've done or what you've said, no matter how sinful you may look in the eyes of the world or what's going on in your heart that you realize your own sin, God loved the world so much that he gave. How could he show his power and his love more clearly than to give his one and only son into death for us all, have him go through the gates of death and then rise again from the dead? There is power there is caring there, but there's also justice there. Do you realize that if God would hold us accountable for our sins, he would actually be dishonoring his own son? Think about this. There's no double jeopardy with God, even to the point that God cannot hold a single sin against us because Christ died for all. And 700 years before Christ came, it said, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He actually is not at all like the unjust judge. It's an argument from the lesser to the greater. If this woman would be so persistent coming up against a judge that is totally unjust, what about us coming to the Lord? Are we going to treat him like an unjust judge or keep coming with that same persistence? That's what the Lord wants, isn't it? Coming with the same attitude, yes, Lord, you know already before I ask what I need, but you want me to come. So come I will. Come in the humble faith that in Christ God's justice is on our side. The elect of God have taken hold by faith of that forgiveness that he holds out to all people. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And with Micah then we cry out in faith, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of your inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. One of the pastors at circuit meeting this week said that Corrie Ten Boom, if you remember her, talked about this same passage, how the Lord God takes our sins and plunges them into the deepest lake and then puts up a sign that says, no fishing. Don't come back looking for your sins. They're gone. And now in Christ, God's justice is on your side. Be persistent like the widow, from the lesser to the greater. You have a God who's not only just and puts his justice on your side in Christ, he's also the God who cares. None of the world's religions have this sense of the God who cares. That's why there is value in studying what other people say. I encourage you to read the Quran. I encourage you to read the book of Psalms next to it. There's a woman in Pakistan, I told you about her before. She wrote a book entitled, I Dared to Call Him Father. She was in a country which still to this day is over 90% Muslim. So they're required 5 times a day as from the minarets, you know, they call out the time of prayer so they're supposed to kneel and so forth. 5 times a day just wasn't enough though for her grandson who was very, very sick. She called for what they call the pastors, the imam, and the imam came over and the imam said, just read verses from the Quran. She read day after day, nothing. He gets worse and worse, the little boy. Finally, she did something very illegal. She asked one of her servants that she knew was Christian to secretly get her a Bible. And in the privacy of her quarters then, she went ahead and read the Bible side by side with her Quran. She came to the conclusion that the God of the Bible truly is merciful and kind, and that he wants us to worship him as our dear father and Jesus as our brother, our savior, and the judge who has already ruled based on his own sacrifice in our place. That's where she came up with that title. I dared to call him father. She prayed to God the Father through Jesus Christ, his son, and her grandson got better. He was in fact healed. They both fled the country eventually, came to the United States for a time. When they thought things had quieted down, they went back to Pakistan. Eventually, that same grandson was martyred for his Christian faith because once again, a Christian was saying, you're not going to take this from me. I will not speak bad against God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he gave his life because life doesn't mean anything without our Lord Jesus. There's persistence in that too. And praying to the God who cares. So Jesus says, listen, listen. Perk up your ears, listen. Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? The elect who cry out to him day and night, especially for them. In the English translation here, it says, will he keep putting them off? I think it'd be better to translate more literally there without a question mark and just say, he will keep showing them great patience. That seems to fit the context here. Obviously, he's not going to keep putting them off either, but the word that's there is God being patient with you so you don't have to worry. Is God going to care because I'm coming to him again in a time of trouble? No. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. He doesn't want us to come fearing that there are somehow conditions on our prayers. He just says, come. What about deep in the night or early in the morning? Don't worry, he's not sleeping. He's up. He's up at all hours. The Lord does not slumber or sleep. He never grows tired or weary, and he never tires of his children coming to him in prayer at all hours. I was troubled when I was at SEM because somebody had said you should not fall asleep while you're praying. I asked one of the professors about that. He said, what better way to fall asleep? Because I'll bet when you wake up, you're still praying, right? Prayer is the attitude of faith. That's what some of the theologians have said. Prayer is the attitude of faith. You just pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Pray without letting up. Pray like the persistent widow that would not let up on the unjust judge, because you have a judge who is both just and he cares, and he's going to be patient with you as you come. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Sometimes God doesn't seem that quick. True? By our standards, you pray and you wish God had answered you yesterday? You know that cartoon where there's a really impatient face there and saying, God, give me patience now. Well, sometimes you need patience now. Tomorrow will be too late. And I love that passage from Isaiah where the Lord, you know, you talk about quickly, the Lord says, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. There's a classic example from church history about the Lord answering before someone even called out. You remember the name William Tyndale? Happened to live in England about the time of Henry VIII. Heard the gospel and was convinced that everybody needs to know in their own language that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all. It's the same time that Luther and the boys were in Wittenberg, you know, at the new university, and they were translating the Bible into German. So William Tyndale tried to get permission from Henry VIII and the British government, and was just totally blown off from that. It was illegal to translate the Bible into the people's language. And Tyndale, I believe, is the one who said to one of the church officials that in my lifetime, God grant it, I will teach the plowboy to know God's word better than you do. Well, it wasn't legal in England, so he had to flee for his life. Tyndale ran to the continent, actually ended up in Wittenberg and studied with Luther and others, and then took about 10 years. He fled to the Netherlands. He's always trying to stay ahead of the spies out of England that Henry VIII has sent to arrest him. Finally, William Tyndale was betrayed. But by then, he had already translated both the New Testament and the Old Testament into English and smuggled copies back into England. They caught him. He spent months in prison. Finally, the church and government officials gave William Tyndale one more chance to take it back, one more chance to recant. And he refused. So they tied him to a wooden beam, piled brush around it, put some gunpowder in the brush just to make sure it would for sure burn, and then chained him and roped him around the neck. Gave him one more chance to pray. This was his prayer. God, open the King of England's eyes. Then they strangled him and burned his body. Before they call, I will answer. Almost a year to the day before Tyndale prayed that prayer, his friend Miles Coverdale, back in England, had put out a translation that used 70% of Tyndale's work. But you know what he did? This is politics at its best. He dedicated, Miles Coverdale, Tyndale's friend, dedicated his translation to King Henry VIII. Now it's okay. Henry's fine. In 1604, when they translated the English Bible that lasted for about 400 years, the King James Version, 90% of the King James Version is said to be Tyndale's work. Before they call, I will answer. But the Lord has one more question for us as he teaches us not to give up and keep praying to the God who cares, keep praying to the God who is the God of justice. Jesus asks this heartrending question. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So you pray. And you pray and you pray and you pray, and things seem to be getting worse. Politics gets more and more nasty. The culture seems to be crashing. Everybody's upset as violence continues in the land. It's very much in our day the way the Lord told Isaiah what it would be like when Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And then he said, "How long, O Lord?" And the Lord says, "Till the land lies desolate and the cities are destroyed." There's about 100 years more from Isaiah to Jeremiah and the destruction of Jerusalem. God's people continued in their wickedness until finally he destroyed Jerusalem and took his people off into captivity. Why do we think so arrogantly that somehow we will escape? And yet you know in your heart of hearts, as I know in mine, and there are Christians all over this country pleading with the Lord, be merciful. Don't give us what our sins deserve. And the Lord's word for us today is, no matter how hard it gets or how difficult, don't stop praying. Keep pounding on heaven's door. Keep going to the Lord like that persistent widow to the unjust judge, because you have a heavenly Father and Jesus, the judge of all creation, who welcomes you. But no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, even if churches and pastors go astray, trust that God's word is true and Jesus' teaching is right, so that you will cling to him for all your worth, for all your life, no matter how much the waves keep crashing over your life, there is still that rock that cannot move. There is still the Lord Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." All night long, in life's little day, that rock won't move. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on prayer. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.